Well, go, baby, 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 baby, won't you come out tonight?
Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure, the number one show for IVF, followed by babies, followed by more talking about IVF. This is Matt.
Wow. That should be our new tagline.
I mean, look, we are number one in that category.
That's true. In that category, we are.
If you get super specific and drill down, as they say, honey, you'll find that we are the most popular podcast in the world for that specific thing.
It's like those Amazon charts.
That are what?
It's like number one in like biohacking.
Dory, you seem to really be eyeballing my delicious beverage right now.
Well, the way you poured that was very interesting.
What was so interesting?
I don't know. It just like captivated me for some reason.
Well, because it looks delicious.
Yeah, it does.
Look at this, honey. Getting wild today.
Is that
zero sugar root beer?
I was going to ask.
We did it.
Cream soda.
No, no, no. I mean, even though I've been on an ice cream kick the last 3.5 days.
Yeah, you're turning into me.
Oh, I got to stop turning into you. I don't know what caused it. The heat. You know what it's been? I've been outside a lot lately. Been outside working, doing some manual labor, and being like, I earned a tasty, tasty Ben and Jerry. Don't eat it all in one sitting. I haven't, but still. And then the other night when I was watching Henry, I was standing Henry watch. It was very funny. Dory came in and she's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm watching Spider-Man on two screens, which I literally was. And it was very funny to me that you seemed like not to quite buy it. And then in the dialogue, someone said Peter Parker. And then you were like, oh my God, he is.
The whole situation was confusing.
You were also awake thinking, I don't know what time you thought it was. It was like 1 o'clock.
Oh,
in the morning.
Yeah. Right.
You remember
right,
that?
Right. I do. I've been waking up a lot.
Yeah. Well, look, I just think you're uneasy about this whole baby thing. You know, you're not sure if Henry likes you anymore or if he recognizes you as a person. These are things we all go through, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
That hadn't occurred to me, but
Henry's a big fan of Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Not really. Just that Dad plays guitar. He's a big fan of Dad's, the sounds that come out of Dad's guitars.
He is.
Yeah. The end.
The end.
Let's see. Lots of updates. Baby jail. We have a baby jail now. It's plastic. It's multicolored. I asked our friend Crystal what baby jail she recommends, because she has giant dogs and babies.
Mm.
And I believe we ended up getting the same version just by happenstance, because I did the research and neglected to tell you anything.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Sort of left you on your own there.
Then I ordered it from Target.
Yeah. And we got it. It's very rigid. It's good. Look, his whole playmat roll float. It goes on the floor. I don't know why Dory's like, his whole playmat doesn't fit anywhere. Remember that one time you said that and I felt so bad about life?
Mm.
Just utterly depressed.
Yep.
Turns out all I had to do was put it down.
Well, we had to move some furniture around.
Not really.
It's in the middle of our living room.
Well, yes, that's 100% true. Look, is it spacious? No. Does it fit? Sort of. So, there's that. Where are we also? Let's talk about young Henry Julian. He, each night, he makes it a little longer without his full-blown wakesies.
Yeah.
4:20 the other day. Yeah, this morning, 5:40?
5:40.
So we're talking about sleeping from, I mean, last night
he went down at 7.
So
yeah.
He did 7 to 5:40.
So almost 11 hours.
It's been great. Just you wait. Everyone, we'll have him in our room in no time. Here's my favorite thing about our son. He can wake up in his crib, even from a nap during the day, and just sort of like look around and
hang out.
Go like, well, I can't quite pick up my pacifier. This fist looks good. And then I'll just suck on his fist for a second and look around a little more. But I've known children to like open their eyes, not see anyone else, and start screaming. Yet our child doesn't give a shit. if anyone else is around or not, which means he's definitely our child. He's like, whatever.
He's blasé.
I'll make my own time. I'll do what I want right now, which is eat this fist.
Yeah. He's really into his hands lately.
Yeah. Still unknown which hand is his dominant hand. He does have some signs of ambidextrism, I will say.
I think all babies do. They're supposed to seem ambidextrous until they're...
Look, I don't know the facts. I just like say two. My observations and present them.
In fact, it's supposed to, I think, be bad if they're really favoring one hand.
Oh, well, great job. He's not bad. What a loser. What a loser, baby.
You know, I think we should tell everyone that I'm pumping right now.
Jory's pumping right now. Can you believe it? I can't. She's got hands-free pumping. She's not connected to anything.
I got a
She went on Facebook groups.
I went on Facebook and I bought a pump that goes in your bra. That's it. There's no like wires. There's no external thing. It's called the LV. And I bought it off of a very nice woman from South Pasadena.
So pass.
I don't think you're really supposed to buy pumps secondhand, so don't like tell the FDA, I guess, or whoever regulates that stuff.
I don't know who regulates that stuff.
But these pumps are expensive, so I was happy to get one secondhand.
Yeah.
But it's been
the hard thing is you never know if you're gonna get along with the pump or not.
Exactly, and that was why I waited, you know, over 2 months to get it because I was like, this thing is expensive. It's not covered by insurance. What if I get it and I don't like it? Well, it turns out if I'd gotten it and I didn't like it, I probably just could have sold it. But I was very hesitant. And then finally, I was really at the end of my rope with pumping.
Yeah, I believe last we left off, at least talking about pumping on the show, you were like, I think I'm done pumping.
Yeah, it was just so horrible. And then I got this on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it has been a game changer. Total game changer.
I'm talking, there's times, people, where Dori Shafrir forgets she's pumping. Just forgets.
I'm just, I need to turn off this pump.
Way over this pump limit. I don't know what a pump limit is, but she's way over it.
I pumped in the car.
She's pumped while driving. She's pumped while
making breakfast.
Reading stories to Henry. She's just such a modern mom about town, you know?
I could go about town.
She goes to Hannah Gadsby and she's pumping.
I pumped on my way to Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah.
It's true. I pulled over and poured the milk into a little bottle.
Oh, you didn't want to do it at the valet? Hang on, guys.
No. I didn't valet.
Yeah, okay.
Parked around the corner.
All right. Look, all I will say is it's, you know, you're less likely to get some scratches on your car if you have LA.
Well, a very nice parking attendant guided me into the spot.
Good God.
Well, he asked me to back in,
guys,
and it was very narrow.
Dori is not...
I hate parking.
She's not great at handling the beast of a car she has. So... I was out there on Friday, so sweaty, just so I've tanned quite a bit, I will say. Trying to with a buffer, guys. Orbital buffer from Black and Decker. Orbital random buffer. I said, you know, now that I think I'm an expert in fixing bodywork on cars, which I'm not, but I kind of enjoy it. I decided to. Just take a good cleaning to Dory's car, sort of buff out what I could. And I got rid of like 80% of the scratches. And then I ordered some touch-up paint. Guys, the lease is up, so I am on money-saving patrol here. Trying to fix this car before we return it to the good people of Volvo.
Yep.
But, yeah, so... Surprised that she self-parked it on Friday. That's all I'm saying. That was a weird story to get to.
Yep.
We got there, though.
We did.
I've been watching a lot of car detailing videos on YouTube.
You love a YouTube instructional video.
Oh my God. So here's what I'm doing lately, guys. I'll pop that on the car. So here's the, you know, I have these scratches on my car that have been there for a long time that I think
are from Bo.
And my goal was like, I just was like so annoyed by them. I ordered this paint scratch removal touch-up paint kit a long time ago. Finally got the stuff into the shed. Now that I've painted and polished a guitar body, I'm like, I think I know how paint works, finally. I think I know how to make a clear coat shine. I decided to undertake it. So I've been undertaking that for a little while. But here's what I like to do. I like to, you know, tape off everything. Get to work, you know. Little Bondo on there. Because bow scratches were so deep. I'll watch some car detailing YouTube videos, and I put my iPad on the hood, and while that's happening, I'll watch this guy, this YouTube guy named Sal, go around to a bunch of dead malls. Sal's going around to dead malls. Sal does these like 45-minute, hour-long videos at dead malls.
Is he like a poor man's Dan Bell?
He is a little bit. That's exactly right. You know, I saw episode 38 or something like that, and he said, you know, when I first saw Dan Bell's channel, I was like, finally, at least give some credit to the master.
I started following Dan Bell on Instagram, and he followed me back.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he only follows like 200 people.
That's very illustrious.
Thank you. I was proud of myself.
Do I even follow DB?
I don't know, but I'm intrigued by his Dead Motels series.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Dan Bell, you should all, if you're not watching his YouTube videos, the guy was...
he was a pioneer.
Pioneer of the Dead Mall motif. Also, I think still has done it better than everybody else. Aesthetically.
Well, he's just got such a well of expertise.
But I'm excited about that, because that, if Dan Bell's going, I could probably get, like, tip-offs as to, like, what's the next video going to be? Oh, my God. Dan Bell, he was following me, and I hadn't followed him back.
Oh, my God.
Dan, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm so bad.
Rude.
At Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, that's offensive.
This is a lot of YouTube talk. I love it. You know what? Why don't we just talk about the final thing I did? I've been making a lot of... some say I've been nesting. Others say I'm just weird. But I like took it upon myself. There's been like this very wiggly towel rack in my bathroom that's been bothering me forever. Finally decided to take care of that. Mounted, I think we talked about this last week, but, you know, mounted those bookshelves to the wall. You know, yesterday I was having trouble with my iPad getting onto our internet. It'd be like my laptop would connect, but my iPad wouldn't connect. My phone would connect, my iPad wouldn't connect. My iPad would connect, but my TV wouldn't connect.
The TV in the bedroom connected, and then it disconnected, and then it reconnected.
Yeah. So we've been having a lot of trouble with these fucking airport expresses.
And we pay Spectrum like over $100 a month for supposedly super fast internet.
Ultimate, whatever it's called. Yeah. Extreme, I think.
With a turbo boost or
something. So I'm finally like, I said to Dory this morning... The last straw, ironically, everybody, to loop it back, the last straw was me sitting down this morning, firing up the TV, and seeing that YouTube was unavailable. I was like, okay, this has to stop somewhere now. I had already ordered the wireless gear, the Orbi. I did some wire cutter research, poked around some CNET reviews. But that's not getting here till tomorrow. I'm like, I need to get this. I need to, you know, if I'm going to upload this podcast, I need the internet to be working. So I was like, I can cancel the Amazon order and I'm going to go to Best Buy and get it. Well, Best Buy doesn't open till 11 a.m. It's 8:30 in the morning and I need my YouTubes. So I say to Dory, we've put Henry down. He's a nap, and he's in nap mode. I'm like,
and we've put him in nap mode.
Yeah, I'm going to Best Buy. I mean, Target. I'm going to Target because Target's open, and they seem to have two in stock in aisle F19. I'll see you later. Can you get diapers? Oh, and soap for the baby's dishes. Okay, do you need me to write it down? I was like, no, it's number two diapers and the robot soap. I'll be back. I go. I get some diet. I did a little, just happened to shop in the beverage section. Got this Virgil Zero Sugar Root Beer. Tastes like garbage. Not great. $8 for an 8-pack.
Ooh.
Too much.
That's a lot.
I agree. Or 6-pack even. Anyway, we got this Orbi. I bring it home. I start setting it up. I'm a little frustrated. I finally disconnect my second generation time capsule. 3 terabytes. It's got so many of my backups on here. I loved this thing so much. Anyway, disconnect. Set up this Orbi. I did a speed test right before I disconnected just to see what the difference was going to be. We're getting 100. We have the fancy internet here because of all the podcasting uploading and shit that we have to do. 153 megs down before. Set up the Orbi. 350. It doubled the speed of my internet. And on top of that, I go to the bedroom, set up the satellite thing. This is a mesh system. You know, we don't have a giant house. We talk about it all the time, but we got an old house with plaster and chicken wire and all this stuff that makes Wi-Fi difficult to cast a signal backwards. Anyway, I go in the backyard, into the bedroom, full signal, 330, 350. I'm like, I'm going to see what happens outside. Because outside, I've been having to use my iPhone to watch these dead mall videos, sending that internet to the thing. And stood at Dory's car, furthest car from the house. Guys, 290 I was getting out there.
Damn.
This coverage is like unbelievable. So, way to go us.
Way to go Orbi.
You know, if you're one of these people who thinks that wireless signals are not good for you, that's all I have to say. I'm excited about it. I'm happy to be a part of this podcast. And this house that now has internet in every room. It's really beautiful. I bet Dory could use it while she's pooping now.
Oh, thank God.
Look, long story longer. I think that it's time for us to actually take a break, honey.
Okay, let's do that.
BRB. And then we'll talk to you guys about the IVFs, etc. BRB.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, we're back.
Hey, everyone. Oh, just before we get to the emails, I want to mention that I wrote an article about Bo.
We buried the lead there.
Yeah. It was called, it was part of a series on Vox's section called The Goods, and they do a series on the best money you've ever spent, and I wrote about the best money I ever spent was for training my unruly dog.
Wow.
Yeah. When I added it all up, came to about $3,000.
I mean, at least.
Yeah.
At least. Think about the time. Also, I like to factor in a little bit of our chateau stuff, because I think that him mingling with the other dogs and with listening to other people also helps him quite a bit.
That's interesting. Oh, boy. Should have been like the best.
Yeah, I know.
Many more thousands. Anyway, it was so interesting because after I published it, I've heard from a bunch of people saying that our experience like echoed their own,
Meaning like the dog was a cool dude.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden the dog was no longer a cool dude.
Yes. And also just, you know, spending all the money on training and kind of feeling like nothing was going to work and putting, you know, feeling like they didn't want to give up on the dog.
Right.
And then some people even had also done IVF. Like it was,
oh, wow.
It was really interesting. And it was also posted on the Reactive Dogs subreddit.
Yeah, big hit over there, that Beauregard Bosch.
I was worried. Someone had written in to, actually, the excellent, and I'm going to read her email. She said I could read it on the air, saying that she had seen the article on you know, r/reactive dogs, and I was like, oh, no, because, you know, you never know what people on Reddit are going to say.
Right.
But everyone said it was really great and, like, quoted from it. And
well, I think the nice thing about reactive dogs is that it's a place where people go to talk about their reactive dogs.
Yes.
And who have dealt with reactive dogs.
Yes. That they liked how I characterized, especially kind of acknowledging what Beau's limits are and not putting him in situations where he's going to, you know, be quote-unquote bad.
Yeah, like this morning, actually, when I was walking Beau, I was like, I should just walk over to this coffee shop and get some coffee. But then I was like, you know, Beau's been really good lately. And I'd have to go into this coffee place. Why don't we just skip the coffee?
See, exactly. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Like, you knew that it was a potentially dicey situation that isn't fair to Beau to put him in.
Right. And it's also like, yeah, sure, it's possible he could have been fine in there.
Right.
Could have sniffed something, been loved by all. But it's also, he could have, just like someone could have come out of a corner he didn't know.
Totally.
Just would have been, you know. So I was like, well, I don't need it.
It's the same, I mean, it's the same idea as the baby jail.
I don't understand baby jail. It really just feels like you're putting Beau in a jail that's much bigger than Henry's.
I mean, I kind of am. Like, I don't, like you were saying, Beau doesn't mean to... You know, Beau doesn't want to be, you know, aggressive towards Henry, and he's not aggressive towards Henry. But
Beau can sometimes.
But Beau,
if he gets distracted, could accidentally put one paw on Henry if Henry's laying on the ground,
and that could be bad.
You know, Beau weighs a lot more than Henry right now.
Yes, so we don't want to put him in that situation. Anyway, it was just nice to hear from other people. So I'm going to read this email from Katie first.
Mm-hmm.
I came across your article on Beau on r/reactive dogs. I got my reactive girl after 8 months of unsuccessfully trying to get pregnant. We knew about her behavioral.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, we knew about her behavioral issues when we got her, leash reactive to other dogs, but really couldn't say no to adopting her because she is so sweet and had languished in the shelter for weeks. Her adoption came with a free behavioral consultation reactivity class. She's on Soliquin. It will be a year since her adoption in September. Her behavioral issues have improved slowly. I often wonder if I'm grateful I hadn't gotten pregnant because otherwise I wouldn't have my girl, who has brought me more joy and love than I could have imagined. I'm still not pregnant and we've started treatment, but I've started imagining what life would be if it was just us and our girl and another dog or two.
That's where we were.
Yeah, that's where we were.
Honestly,
too.
I still like to think about that time.
Henry, he doesn't mean it.
We could have had a dog named Henry.
An interesting commonality I've found between infertility and having a reactive dog is the social pressure involved with each. There's a lot of pressure to have a child and a lot of pressure to have the perfect dog. The way people look at me when they see my dog having a bad reaction is similar to the way people look when I tell them I can't get pregnant. Like I'm somewhat of a failure. And my life is worse for it. If I was a better writer, I'd consider writing something longer form on this. Anyway, I loved your article.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. Like, the looks, like, you know, if Beau goes nuts at another dog or something like that.
Yeah.
Or if Beau's barking at something across the street. You know. It's essentially, you know what I like to do in those situations? I like to not even... If I feel like Beau was in the wrong of the situation, he started it. I'll very quickly say sorry, and then I will turn away from that person entirely, and all of my attention is focused on Beau and getting him to calm down.
Oh, totally.
So, you can look at me all you want, but right now, I'm going to calm down this old beast. I've decided, by the way, everyone, that Beau is very old. I combed so much gray hair out of him today.
Oh, buddy.
We have no idea how old Beau is.
I mean, they probably just told us.
They said...
He was a year. Well,
the first
two year,
vet. I, remember the first the vet I went to. I
said he was three.
Like, according to like his molars, he was at least three.
Yeah. Well, and I suspect
he's probably like 7 years old.
I suspect that they say they say dogs are younger than they actually are because they know that the older a dog is, the less likely it is to be adopted. Like people want younger.
Yeah, but
dogs.
I say if Bo was 3 to 5, we would have still adopted him. Easily. I mean, I wanted to adopt Batman the dog.
Who was 10.
He's
probably no longer
hey,
with
hey,
us.
Hey. We don't know that. It's Batman.
I mean, if and when we move to a larger house, we could consider adopting a senior dog.
A small senior dog.
Yeah.
So that Bo doesn't get...
A small female senior dog.
Right.
So Bo doesn't feel threatened.
Yeah.
Although I feel like what would happen then is that dog would end up like bossing Bo around.
Yes, 1,000%. Bo is bossed around by giant leaves that blow around in the wind.
Yes.
Bo is a little scaredy cat.
Oh, Bo.
Great dog, though. Number one dog.
Katie, thank you so much for your email. I don't know if you'll hear it. I don't think you listen to the podcast, but thank you for your email. I'm going to play one dog-related voicemail, if I may.
Okay.
Hey, y'all. It's Thomas in Colorado. I just paused the podcast because you were talking about Bo and maybe another foster dog. And I just want to tell you, we had the same problem. Our Dane Husky mix Blaze was just a terror with all other dogs until we found out that she was just territorial around dogs of her similar size. So what we ended up having to do, much to my not planning, was getting a Jack Russell mix. And she loves that little dog. You know, maybe it's because he's a puppy too and she can just swat him, but seems to be working out. So you might have to go with a smaller dog, but, you know, good luck on that front. All right. Bye.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that actually, you know, when we said a smaller dog, we were referring, I'd heard that voicemail earlier when Dory was playing it before the show. So that's where I got the small dog idea. So, good idea.
Thank you. All right. This next email is from Ashley. Last week we were talking about how Henry doesn't like to nap.
Do you really feel like Henry doesn't like to nap?
No, I think he's actually... I think he went through a short phase where it was really hard to put him down.
You know, it's as I've spent a few sort of like, you know, you've been busy, you've had things to do, and I've sort of had a little more Henry time of like, I just say to you, when does he have to go down? And you'll tell me, and then you leave and mm-hmm. do what you need to do. And I will say that in those times, I find Henry to be a very easy baby.
Yes, he is an easy baby.
I find him to like sort of... You know, when he doesn't want to go down, it's not because he's being a dick. It's just he's like, guys, I'm not ready for this yet.
Hmm.
So what I do is I will sort of like, I really sort of try to get him in the room in the vicinity mm-hmm. of those mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. Like this morning, for instance, when I was trying to put him down, I put him on the bed, on the day bed,
mm-hmm.
and I read to him on the day bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then gave him a little food, and then he seemed like he was ready mm-hmm. to go down. So I don't think he doesn't like napping. I just think he's like, I'll nap, but only when I want to. You jerks.
Yeah, I mean, I think the tricky part with that is if you wait too long for his cues, then he gets overtired.
Yeah, but then he just becomes a cranky bitch.
Yeah.
And then it's just like fighting through the crankiness.
But his naps lately have been actually pretty good. Anyway, this is from Ashley. My now 8-month-old science baby wanted to mostly eat when he was 2 months old, and I could not get him to nap. I mentioned that at his 2-month appointment, and the pediatrician wasn't concerned. She told me it was normal for 2-month-olds because they're starting to notice the world around them. I've been back to work full-time since he was 10 weeks old, and my husband is a teacher who is home with the baby during the summer. He takes pretty good naps for his sitters and when it's just him and daddy. I often call him Mr. No Nap because when mom and dad are both home, he fights naps hard. Despite that, he's a very happy and fast-growing, adorable baby. We just ended up with little Mr. FOMO. He is also a decent night sleeper with the exception of his growth spurts, and he knocks those out in about 2 days. Who knows? These little guys might just be low sleep needs. I've read some sleep training books and take some of the advice, but now I've decided to relax, and if whatever we're doing stops working, we'll tackle it then. We're all happier and more well-rested having that attitude. That said, I hope he naps for you soon, because naps equals I get shit done. Congrats on Henry. Much love to all of you from two adults, one curious crawling eight-month-old, and a diabetic three-legged cat. Oh, in a pretty good sized house in Northeast Ohio. I don't remember the square footage, but it's got a lot of bathrooms that I'll appreciate again when I have time to keep them clean on a regular basis. Ashley, thank you for your nap wisdom.
That is great nap wisdom.
Yep.
I appreciate all naps, wisdom and otherwise. Dory and I took a nap today.
Mm-hmm.
Whole family was in Nap City.
Yeah.
Dory and I were like, let's dial up our sleep numbers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I, of course, went for 0G.
You love that 0G.
They are a sponsor, but also did not give us a nickel for that bed.
Nope.
Just so we're all aware of what's happening here. Yeah.
You really have been sleeping a lot better since we got that bed.
Well.
You have.
He says you.
Yes, says me.
Let me just figure out what my sleep score was last night, guys. Let's talk about it. Okay, I had a couple nights where I was like, I slept for 2 hours, and that was just by virtue of my own fault, not like Henry or anything.
And not the bed. Not the fault of the bed.
I have to tell the bed about the new network.
Oh, damn.
Anyway, which I think they might will have yesterday's sleep stored. Yeah. I had a 92, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
6 hours and 27 minutes of restful sleep with 1 hour and 9 minutes of restlessness. Now, of course, that is based on my own personal goal where I said to the thing, I was like, I'd like to sleep for 6.5 hours. That's like, if I can get 6.5 hours of actual sleep, I'm rock solid. So.
Like I said, you've been getting better sleep.
But I mean, a 90, yeah, 92 for me is great. So, like, I'm talking, look at this. So, 92, day before that, 91, 21. Oh, that was staying up with Henry all night. 2:44 in the morning, I got into bed. And then I had to get out of bed at 7:20 because Dory had to poop.
Mm. Well, I had been up with him since, basically since 4.
Yeah. 76 on Wednesday, 5 hours. Anyway, long story short, so far so good on the bed.
All right. Last week we heard from Sarah, who was sending out the signal about she'd had a bunch of chemical pregnancies and she was going to CCRM in New York. Remember her?
Yes, I do.
She wrote back.
Oh, nice.
She says, thank you so much for your support and information. It was good to hear Dory's experience with the retrieval and transfer process. I wanted to follow up to answer a few questions. CCRM workup. Matt asked if CCRM did the crazy workup on me that they typically do. They did not.
Oh.
Because they were going to do it before they transferred an embryo. But since all of my embryos from my retrieval cycle with them were abnormal, there was nothing to transfer and therefore no need for their workup.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Uterine septum. Weirdly, I have slipped through the cracks for hysteroscopy and never have had that done. RMA New York doesn't do them in the office. They only do them as a general anesthesia hospital procedure, and NYU didn't think I needed it based on my saline uterine sonogram.
Mm-hmm.
So this is definitely something I want to have done. I do think something is going on, though, because of the two chemicals. Foster dog. You guys should totally foster when life settles down a bit, of course. I work really closely with a number of New York City-based dog rescues and can tell you that if you're willing to foster, you can set parameters around what type of dog you're able to foster to ensure that the foster dog gets along with Beau. It's a lot of work, as you well know, having adopted a dog, but fulfilling. Dear John, OMG, I've been meaning to write about this for weeks. I totally remember this show and think of the theme song anytime anyone around me says, Dear John. I can still remember the opening scene with the Dear John letter on the mantle. Anywho, thank you for keeping the conversation going. Love listening to you guys.
Dear John. Dear John.
Oh, boy.
By the time you read this letter, I'll be gone. All right.
Thank you.
That was a good time.
Sarah, thank you for
Sarah, keep us posted
all the responses.
Going on
yeah, the, please keep us posted.
CCRR. RR.
CCRM.
What? Yeah, I know. I just decided to make it a little better. Looking for reactive dogs, honey. Don't worry about it.
Oh, did you find the subreddit?
No. It doesn't exist.
What? It's just r/reactive dogs.
I know. I know how to use Reddit. I'm not some sort of not Reddit using person. Gosh.
All right.
She doesn't get me, guys.
I'm going to play voicemail.
Hi, Matt and Dory, Beau and Henry. My name's Ari. I'm calling from Wisconsin. And I just wanted to call in. And I had a couple things. One, someone was calling in, another mom, and she has twins. And she was talking about venting and how I think her brother says something like, you asked for it, which isn't super empathetic. I was just thinking, I just thought of a really good analogy that maybe, and I don't have any of my own children, but I think parents should get to vent just like every other human being. Maybe a good analogy is going to college. A lot of people pay a lot of money to go to college, and I know myself personally, while I was there paying and choosing and wanting to be there, I still complained a lot about exams, professors, taking the bus, all of those things. So I feel like maybe that's a good analogy that, you know, parents could have to use with people who aren't really being understanding. And then the other one, just a quick thing on the woman who had called in just prior about having a lot of mosaics and chemical pregnancies. I was just wondering if maybe, I know CRU has a very intense, program when people start going there, but I was wondering if maybe she had done any testing of her own, like of her own genetics and stuff, because there's some unique things that can be going on in people, and we can seem totally normal, and we are totally normal, but, you know, maybe in some of our genes, the way it gets passed on isn't as successful. I'm not sure. I just thought maybe something, you know, to consider for her. And all in all, thanks for continuing on with the podcast. I love listening to you guys and your chatter and your venting and your realness. And yeah, great job. Thanks. Bye.
Love a Wisconsin accent.
Yeah. That like flat Midwestern accent.
Flat.
Yeah, flat.
No, I think it's very, I think it's sing-songy.
Interesting.
Yeah, we think different things about this accent, but we both like it.
Wow.
I guess we should get a divorce.
Interesting.
All right, take me back. Dear John.
Dear Matt. Thank you for that. And yeah, it does seem like there's an endless number of tests and things that could be the thing. It never ends.
I think that you never know what the thing is until it works.
Mm-hmm.
And even then you're like, wait, did it work because of the thing that we did, or did it just happen to work?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Should we take another short break?
I mean, we could. This root beer is not going to drink itself.
Okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And we're back, dear John.
Okay. Oh, God. All right. We heard from a few people about Hashimoto's.
Yes.
Last week. And I'm going to read one of the emails we got from Anonymous, who says, I was diagnosed at 34. My TSH was 25, and I was quickly put on Synthroid. I was angry to realize the old school primary care physician I had seen just 1 year prior told me everything was fine when my TSH was 6, which was totally bogus. I just didn't know better at the time. We did not get pregnant at that time, but incidentally found we needed IVF for male factor anyway. I would get on Synthroid as soon as possible because it takes a couple months for your levels to change. Because I was so gung-ho to get pregnant, I decided to consult an endocrinologist, a naturopath, and an acupuncturist. I tried an autoimmune protocol diet for a while and am still gluten-free, but some say autoimmune conditions like Hashimoto's can be tied to diet. I took all of the recommended supplements from the naturopath, too. So far, all is going well in my first IVF pregnancy at 12 weeks. Having a Hashimoto's does not mean you can't get pregnant. I've been told by one doctor it places me at a slightly higher risk of miscarriage, and by another doctor that the risk is pretty much mitigated by having your TSH levels under control with meds. Who knows? Wishing you luck. Thank you, Anonymous, for those Hashimoto's insights.
First of all, guys, I'm hearing some beeping that might be from packages, but I don't hear Bo. Is he asleep?
He is sound asleep.
Okay.
Like, sound asleep.
I was very confused. I was like, wait, I heard the beep. Why don't I hear the angriness?
Because he's decided he doesn't want to be a reactive dog anymore.
Well, that's very nice of him.
He's unsubscribed from r/reactive dogs.
Well, look, I'd tell him to resubscribe, but he's a dog. He doesn't have thumbs. How's he gonna touch a mouse?
That's true. I guess
he could sort of.
I turned off his internet.
Pod it like that. Thanks to Circle.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to our sponsor, Circle. Thank you, Circle.
Honey, that's your sponsor. Isn't that a Forever 35 sponsor?
No.
It's us?
It's us.
Thanks to our sponsor, Circle.
Yep. Okay. Do you want to read this email from Bailey?
Yes. Bailey's a good doggy. It's from a dog, right? That has had its internet not turned off?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll read it anyway, I guess.
Okay.
Did I scroll too far? There it is. Hello, Shfire family. I'm writing a response to Michelle's questions about cervical stenosis, and I wanted to share my experience with the same problem. My husband and I were diagnosed with the same dreaded unexplained infertility as she was. We did 3 IUIs before moving to IVF. The first 2 IUIs were extremely painful, and during our third, the doctor actually said I couldn't get the catheter through, so I did my best and put them on the cervix. Stay laying down for 30 minutes. Jesus Christ. It certainly didn't work. A total waste of their time.
Total waste of our time.
Their time. I'm saying, I'm reading it. I'm just, you know, playing fast and loose with tenses and who's writing what.
Got it.
All right. Okay. I hope you can follow along, everyone at home. Boy, oh boy.
I'm having trouble following along.
This day
in the studio.
Was a mistake. I'll tell you that much. That's why I keep it as my wallpaper. I'm like, just remember, every day it could make a mistake.
You know,
hi, guys.
You've made a lot of jokes.
Well, because Dear John's on my head.
Our marriage. And I'm starting to
think
that maybe there's truth in them.
Yeah. I mean, do you see the kind of friendships that formed in the divorce support group in Dear John? Those are the kinds of real relationships that I want in my life. Anyway, back to Bailey's email. When we switched to IVF, the doctor wasn't able to complete my mock transfer. So they did a cervical dilation with the hopes of they could theoretically do a fresh transfer. When the day came, the doctor couldn't get the catheter in despite the dilation. And we had to cancel the transfer cycle and freeze the embryo and then try again. I can't tell you how frustrating and upsetting this was. Thankfully, it was fresh and we were able at least to do the freeze. That is good. From our subsequent transfers, I was put under full anesthesia and I was able to relax my body enough that they could do the transfer. Oh, that's interesting. Though the first one wasn't successful, my second round was, and we're the proud parents of twin girls. Doctor said it was one of the most difficult transfers he's ever done, even with the anesthesia. I don't know if your clinic would be willing to do transfers under anesthesia, but it's probably worth asking. Wow. Thanks to us for creating a community. They've been listening since the beginning, and they have 2,000 square feet, husband, 7-year-old daughter, 13-month-old twins, a 50-pound dog, and 2 cats. Jesus Christ. A shadow of Hershey chocolate in Pennsylvania. Oh, I love a Hershey Park visit. Hershey, Pennsylvania, honey, have you been?
I have been. I haven't been to Hershey Park, but I've been to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Hershey Park's great. A lot of good coasters.
I've been to the store. Bought chocolate at the big store there. Big Hershey HQ, you know?
They have the... the thing I most remember of Hershey Park is the... I think it's in the Hershey Museum. There's the Apostolic Clock. Which is a large, handmade old clock that tells the story of the apostles and Christ. It's fascinating. I don't know why I still remember it, but I do.
Really made an impact on you, huh?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I remember that clock.
Oh, good job, Hershey.
I'd like to make a clock. Ooh, new hobby.
Oh, no.
I'm into clocks now.
Okay. We have an email from Lauren.
Okay.
Who is a nursing student. And she really wants to work in labor and delivery after she graduates next month. Okay. So she says, I've been on L&D and postpartum units all summer and I'm loving it. What's great is that since I'm at a very large teaching hospital, they have a high patient volume and care for many high-risk OB patients, so I'm learning a lot. However, my most challenging days have not been when I'm crazy busy or have super medically complex patients. I've had a few emotionally draining cases and could use some advice. The other day, I took care of a patient who had a DNC for their third early pregnancy loss. Quite understandably, they had a total breakdown while coming out of the sedation from the procedure. While I think my preceptor did a great job handling the situation, she even said afterwards that she never knows what to say in those situations. So my question is, would any of your listeners who have been in similar situations be willing to share what nurses or other providers did or said that was comforting or helpful? I realize the whole situation just sucks and nothing you say will actually make it better, but maybe there are things we can do to not make them worse. Apparently, the last time this couple was in the hospital for their second pregnancy loss, a nurse told them that the next time they'd be there was because they were pregnant. You can't promise that. You never know what is going to happen, and this is the one thing the couple remembered from the last time they were there. Thank you in advance for the advice. Feel free to edit for length. Well, we didn't. Congrats on Henry and for Beau being such a good big brother. Best wishes to you all. Lauren in a 558-square-foot apartment with a cat somewhere in the mid-Atlantic.
Okay.
So that signal has gone out, and
I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd say things like, are you cold? Are you hot? I can change that right now.
Things that are in your control.
Yeah. Let's make you as comfortable as we can. What do you need from us?
Yeah.
Things like that. I need a baby. I gotta go. I'll be back. My shift is changing in an hour. That was a little role play in my head of what I would do as a nurse.
You'd be a great nurse.
Nope. I would not be.
Okay.
Honey, you got Forever 35 people writing in now?
Yeah.
What is happening?
I mean... It's from Rosalind.
Yeah.
She's originally a Forever 35
OG,
listener.
OG F35.
She can't get enough of me and Kate.
Oh, well, I mean.
Can anyone?
You know, if they're in your office at your computer, you can get enough of them. Trust me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. I took a nap.
Life is so hard
for you. I was
like,
oh, I can't do anything. Let's go take a nap.
Life is so hard for Matt. Everyone should know that.
You should know that I can just nap whenever I feel like napping.
Yeah. He goes back to work in 2 weeks. Okay.
I mean, I'm going to work next week, so.
She decided to venture over to Excellent Adventure this winter, not too long before becoming pregnant myself.
Oh, wow.
Dory, I remember you talking about hiring a doula, but I don't recall you saying anything about her on your birth episode. I'm considering one.
Did we really not? We must have said a little bit of something, but, you know, much like I always thought. Never mind. Continue.
I'm considering one for my labor and was wondering what your experience was like and if you felt like the extra cost was worth it. I'd like to have as low intervention of a birth as I can, though I want the interventions if I really need them, so I'm planning to give birth at a hospital. And it sounds like having a doula is a good step towards that goal. Would love to hear any of your thoughts, and big congrats on Henry. So happy for you, too. Well... I think if I had gone into labor on my own,
1,000%,
I would have been thrilled to have a doula. If I'd, you know, had been laboring at home and the doula was there and kind of helping me with the breathing and the exercises and all that stuff. And then we went to the hospital and she was coaching me through it. Would have been great. As it was, I had an induction that went on for fucking ever. And they generally say that they don't come until you're in active labor. Well, I never went into active labor. And we basically had to be like, we need you to come like now to get her to come to the hospital.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I think you just never know what kind of birth you're going to end up with. So we rolled the dice and turned out that I don't think we really needed her. Like, it was nice to have her there.
Look, I'll just tell you straight up. It's nice. I mean, you're there. You're not like, it's not like you're having, if it's your first pregnancy, then I would say yes, get a doula. Because it's just having like a, it's like going to a place with a local tour guide.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like having, you know, a costumed colonial take you around Faneuil Hall. They've been there.
That's a thing you can do.
They know what's happening. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like nice to have her there, for sure. But I think if I had gone into labor on my own, it would have been more helpful to have her there. Also, you know, I think that a lot of the people I had spoken to about their experiences with doulas, a lot of them, I think, had had a bad hospital experience and like felt like the doula was there in part to kind of like be the go-between, you know,
sure.
Like to advocate for them with nurses and doctors. But I actually felt like I was treated very respectfully by the nurses and
the entire staff
at Cedars. So I didn't really feel like I needed that necessarily.
Right.
But again, not something you know before you go into it.
Right.
So
I mean, it's sort of just like how much of a backup do you want?
Yeah.
I guess I'm saying this. Raza, are you the type of person? Is this Rosalind's question? Mm-hmm. Rosalind, are you the type of person that always purchases trip insurance?
See, I never purchase trip insurance.
I guess let me finish. Then a doula is definitely right for you. Dory, was a doula right for you?
Maybe not.
Exactly. Let me finish my sentences. Jeez Louise. Rosalind, help me.
Really acting like a real podcaster over here. Cutting people off.
Oh, God.
Interrupting.
What's so funny is I was helping Dory with some editing she was doing on a Forever 35 ad, getting it ready to go. And I came in from my manual labor, and I stood by her with her GarageBand. I was trying to teach her how to, you know, do the edits on her own and stuff like that, which she's super capable of. But what cracked me up was she was like, well, what happened? This must have shifted. We're not talking over each other. We can't. This must have shifted. The timeline. I'm like, I scrolled to the end and I saw the timeline lined up. I was like, you did not. Nothing has shifted. You definitely talked over each other.
It's true.
I had to prove it by pulling in the files raw and having her hit play.
That's true.
So
we did talk over each other.
It was very funny to me.
Yep.
How are your GarageBand lessons going?
Well, you know, I remember a long time ago I asked you to teach me how to edit and you refused. You told me I should just learn on my own.
Here's why I think I was correct in refusing. It's so much easier for me to teach when someone has an actual thing in front of them and needs to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, haven't I been very good about like...
If you have a specific thing,
no problem.
Totally.
But it's like, for me to think of like everything you'd need to know, it's sort of why I taught myself and why I'm happy to help you along the way.
See, you're more of like a self-taught person.
Yeah, I am. Then as opposed to a what?
someone who likes to be taught.
Oh, sure. I guess. I mean, I didn't have any really options. It's not like in 2008, there was a lot of podcast tutorials floating around.
No, totally. Totally. I like to be guided by a human.
Yeah.
I like to be shown.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I watch a lot of YouTube videos.
I know, I don't.
But YouTube videos are showing.
I know, but they are not really.
What?
They're not there with you.
This is true. Okay. All right.
So.
Look.
That's just the difference between you and me.
Que sera, sera.
Dear John. Okay. All right. We're going to skip ahead to this.
Alrighty.
Email from Alina.
Alina.
Who writes, I called in a while back and left the voicemail about whether to change baby plans based on the possibility of a parent's passing. I just want to say thank you for your empathy and all the kind messages from other listeners. I cried with each time and you guys made me feel understood. Thank you, especially Matt, for the suggestion to record an interview with my dad. Mm. Your comment stuck in my mind and ensured that when I saw him that weekend, I had my equipment with me. We've been able to do 3 recording sessions.
Oh, that's great.
And I now have about 1.5 hours of my dad talking about his life in Cuba as a kid teenager. Both of my parents are Cuban Jews.
Hey. Whoa. What? Because Henry is technically a Cuban Jew. I thought he was the only one.
No, there were a lot of Cuban Jews.
I didn't know that.
Wait, so you acknowledge that your dad's family was Jewish?
No. Honey, you have the coat of arms is right there. The entire history of the Meyer family is sitting in our hallway, which she refuses to look at.
What are you talking about? I've looked at it.
Oh, yeah. What is the slogan on our coat of arms?
I don't remember.
Oh, my God. She's just a liar, everybody.
I'm not a liar.
By integrity alone. That is the Myra saying, the motto.
All right. He has been too sleepy and ill in the subsequent months to get more interviews, but I'm hoping to get more since it seems like his health has stabilized recently.
That's great.
Anyway, those 3 interviews are thanks to you guys, and I wanted you to know that. Since when I called in, it's been easier to say to myself, it's okay if you won't meet my future children and just try to treasure each moment I have. I also wanted to say I love the Henry nicknames and wanted to share that my dad nicknamed me Monster Butt, Booger, and Booger Butt as a kid. My mom nicknamed me Poopsie, my second sibling Poopy, and my youngest sibling Poop. That stopped the day when she yelled poop at daycare to tell him to come home, and he was super upset and embarrassed.
Ah.
I don't think she even realized she was saying the word poop at that point, so be careful where you use Henry's nicknames in the future. Thanks so much, Alina, in a 900-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment in Los Angeles with 2 adults, a small dog, almost always a second guest dog.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that you have done that. That's really great.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm glad we were able to help.
I'm a little jealous. I should do that with my parents. But again, I'm genuinely lazy.
Hmm.
We've had both sets of parents here while podcasting.
Yeah.
And we've not taken any advantage of that.
It's true.
Really, I think the true benefactors of that are the listening audience.
Lisa has a question for those who've made it to pregnancy and baby after IVF struggles. I'm wondering how people find quality and affordable full-time daycare after parents go back to work. Specifically, is there a good way to find reviews on daycare facilities, or how do people evaluate nannies? Also, how much effort do people put into this before baby is even born? Any tips and tricks would be greatly appreciated. Dory and Matt, thank you so much for continuing to share your lives with us. It's my favorite podcast every week. Oh, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Well, our sponsor, care.com.
Yes, they'll even give you background checks.
Is one way to evaluate nannies.
And pay them. But really, I think it's... essentially seems to be word of mouth is the best way to go here. Find people you know that have had experience with said places or people and talk to them about it. And I think once that you vet them in that sort of minor vetty way, then you'll be like, okay. Because I know we hired Holly to help us out part-time here for like Sundays when we're podcasting. Dory called references, talked.
That's not really word of mouth, though.
It's word from another person's mouth.
Yeah, but word of mouth would have been like...
Yeah, sure. If Dale, your friend Dale from...
Right.
From Pilates was like, this is the best person.
Exactly.
Sure, but we went another route, which was...
Next door.
Yeah.
I found Holly, and then we did some calls.
And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, checking references is always important, I think.
But ask around, I guess, is what I'm saying.
But yeah, I'd love to hear from listeners about how they found daycares and or nannies.
Please, let us know.
Yeah.
I remember going, when I was a kid, I used to go to the daycare at the bowling alley.
Oh.
My mother was in a bowling league.
Oh.
At the Brunswick in...
That was so smart of them to have daycare, to have, you know...
At the Brunswick, I guess it's...
Child care.
Lowell, technically? Or was it Tingsboro? I'm going to look it up.
Okay. I'm curious how people find these places and what they look for.
It's called the Brunswick Zone Lowell Lanes now.
Oh, look at that.
It's on Pawtucket Boulevard, honey. Oh, I spent so much time in that daycare. They got a nice new paint job.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That picture just takes me back. Wow. Guys, I'd like to attend. I'd like to go back to Boston in the fall to sort of have, Henry experience the joys and horrors of Boston in the fall. So, yeah, looking forward to that, potentially doing such a thing. If you'd like to rent us your home, please do so. I've been on VRBO looking. Not a ton. Oh, just for funsies, I was like, let's see what the Encore hotel would be that night. The Encore nightly rate for the regular suite is $1,900 a month. The rates at that place...
$1,900 a night?
A night is what I meant, not a month.
What? For a regular room?
Yeah.
$1,900?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Did you look at, like, the biggest room or something?
No. Honey, I'm telling you, it's a hit.
$1,900?
It's a hit.
How is that even possible?
Now, if you have a Red membership, you can get it for $1,700, I think.
Oh. So,
but also, you know what I've always said? Boston has the most expensive hotel rooms on the planet Earth.
You have always said that.
I've been saying this for years. No one's listening. And I was just like, did I just select like the busiest week of the year? What is the problem?
Did you?
No. Honey, look, watch. Ready? Pick a random whatever.
No, I'm doing it too.
No, pick a random. I'm doing it for you right now on the screen.
I picked August 13th to August 16th. Honey, I see $395 a night.
Yeah, maybe August. I mean, yeah. I was looking at a signature suite. Oh, that was all that was available.
Okay. The Premier King is $395 a night.
But look at this. Signature suite, $1,298. And then the Harborview is $1,398. And then the two-bedroom is $5,000.
Okay. But a regular room is $395.
Well, how come it's $698 here? Like, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at the Encore. If you checked in on Tuesday, August 13th, and you checked out on Friday, August 16th.
Wow. Well, I'm looking at, like, future dates.
What dates are you looking at?
I was just, like, I just picked random dates in September.
Well, maybe
anyway,
September is
Do
more
you live in
expensive.
Boston? Have you been to the Encore? How is it? Does it compare to the regular Encore? The one from Las Vegas, Nevada?
Oh, I see what you mean. That week is very expensive.
Thank you for figuring that out. At least I'm not super crazy. But like,
oh no! In fact, the nights of the 24th and 25th are the most expensive nights. Like in there.
Oh, it's gone up so much since I last looked. It's $2,600.
You know what? I think August they have some grand opening specials, and then
The end,
and then it gets the, it looks like the lowest rate then becomes $7.25 a night, and then it goes down to $4.95 in November,
Thanksgiving week.
Yeah,
that's absurd.
That is absurd. I agree. That's absurd.
Thank you for agreeing with me. Have you been, everyone? Is anyone out there? Have you gone? When did it open? Tell me about it. I need to know. What kind of games they got? How's it going? Do they play roulette down there? Is that legal in Massachusetts?
I thought they had everything.
I don't know. They don't have a sports book.
Oh, true. Although, I thought you could now bet on sports in all 50 states if it was legalized in the states. Didn't people decide that?
No.
It's legal in New Jersey now.
Yes. At the state level, you can decide. And for some reason, by the way, California has not said yes. It's very annoying.
Mm.
The featured slots, Buffalo Gold, Great Machine, and the Game of Thrones slot machine. Sure. Ooh, James Bond diamonds are forever. Let's view the details. Oh, guys, let's go. Search for diamonds on the reels for jackpots playing James Bond. Diamonds are forever. The action-packed stepper game features the iconic movie. Thrilling please, wheel bonus.
Please talk that way. Forever.
Wheel bonus. I'm so excited.
Can I read these last couple emails?
Yeah, I mean, we've done our time. Okay. Let's answer some questions.
Well, this is from Danielle, who says, I just want to say I have the same problem with video game story. I cannot do the 3D ones. My kids and husband love many that Matt does, Red Dead Redemption, Overwatch, but I just can't get the hang of them. Here are a few suggestions that I can do that work with the gaming systems you have.
Mm.
Mario Kart 8. It is 3D, but I can work the controls pretty easily.
Yeah, because there's no up and down.
All of the Super Nintendo goodies are available now on the Switch. Super Mario, Yoshi Island, Monopoly is available on the Switch. We play it as a family. My youngest liked Little Big Planet, and I could play it some. It's a mm-hmm. fun game.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Love, Danielle.
Danielle, thank you.
And then Marshana wrote in to say that she and her husband have played most of the Lego games and find it to be a great way to play and do something together. And she says, I think you both will enjoy Lego Batman and the Lego movie games the best. And she also says, when I heard you had played Borderlands, I was intrigued and told my husband about it right away. We've been looking for more co-op games to play together. We already played all of the Gears of Wars and most of the Halo games mm-hmm. together and was sad to find most games are online co-op and not made for split-screen interaction these days.
Yeah.
Anyways, another game you may be interested in is the new Mario game, Mario Odyssey.
Oh, we played that a little bit in the hospital.
This game is not violent. Someone can play as Mario's hat while the other plays as Mario.
Oh, I didn't realize that you could two-player it like that. Honey, I'm back on board.
Okay. Also, the new Rayman games are a good choice and fun to play together.
Rain Man?
Rayman, she wrote.
All right.
They brought their puppy Yoshi home a couple months ago. Never had a dog before. Any tips for housebreaking him? Also, any tips in general for puppy 4 months is appreciated. I've never trained a puppy. I've only adopted.
I started with a puppy, and it's been great. I've crate trained. That's how I've gone.
Yeah, people say crate training is the way to go. So
that's my advice.
Best of luck.
Good luck
to you. Here's a voicemail.
Hi, Matt and Dory. This is Hannah calling again from Windsor, Ontario, Canada, which is right across the border from Detroit. I'm calling again because I hated my last message. I just wanted to tell you guys that I'm so excited that you guys discovered the Lego games, especially the Indiana Jones one. They're so much fun. I grew up playing them on the PS2. I didn't have video games growing up. I grew up in a really strict home, especially like violent video games mm-hmm. were not allowed. So I didn't get a PS2 till I was basically in high school, and I'm 24 now, so it wasn't that long ago. Anyways, I'm a longtime listener and first time caller, and I'm a huge fan of you guys, and I'm wishing everything well with Henry and Beau. Have a good one. Bye.
Lego games getting another thumbs up. Let me just tell you right now, the Avengers Lego game we tried at Avengers Age of Ultron, and it just is, there's too much happening.
Yeah. I agree.
There's this part like where you're like, Dory's Captain America and I'm Iron Man flying around Stryker's castle base. But I cannot figure out how to do anything but kill the soldiers flying around. And I'm supposed to like be taking out these cannons.
I found it to be very frustrating. There was too much killing, even though it was Lego killing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not a fan.
Just Legos breaking apart, honey.
I know, those poor Legos.
Batman doesn't kill. Oh. You know that about Batman.
That's true.
So, that'll be pretty good.
I'm excited.
Maybe. We'll try that.
Okay.
Cool.
This last email is from Vanessa, who writes, I had to stop the podcast to say, Dory, I'm with you on Rocket Man. I'm not a fan of musicals and was surprised, to say the least, the first time the jazz hands were deployed. I was totally expecting the Elton version of Bohemian Rhapsody. Shocker.
I still think that's what the movie is, even though people have told me not.
I know. That's what they marketed it as. She lives in London.
Oh, yeah.
In 1,600 square feet with her boyfriend and son, Zach, who is 21 months.
I'm very excited about that. I'd love to live in London.
It's very expensive.
London. I miss you.
Oh, London. London town.
Guys, we're going to wrap this up, but you can still get more of us if you support the Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/excellentadventure. Help us pay for Patreon fun, which is producing the podcast every week.
Mm-hmm.
Helping us pay for someone to watch the baby while we podcast about the baby. It's a vicious circle of babies and podcasts. So thanks to the following people who've donated $5 and up. You get your name read every month. Here's some names for this month. Christine M.
Christy Maggs.
Daphne Powers.
Darlene Estramera.
DFI Plums.
Diana.
Emily McNaughton. I skipped one. I skipped Edwina. Morgan Bodo.
Erica Brown.
Aaron Gudge.
Aaron Turley.
Evelyn Schmevelin.
Greta Truitt.
Hannah Crowder.
Heather Nelson.
Helen R.B.
Hoot and Waddle.
Jack Woodyard.
Jacqueline Griffin.
Jane Callahan.
Jennifer Sika.
Jennifer Floyd.
Jennifer Steele.
Jess Branch.
Jesse Hendricks.
Jolene Sigler.
Julie Phillips.
Kane McCall.
Caitlin Young.
Catherine Shimmons.
Katie Heimer.
Katie Regan.
Katie Tavey.
Kelly.
Kelly Zimmerman.
Carrie Mills.
Kim Mestra.
Kimberly Shepherd.
Krista Parker.
Kristen Anderson.
Christopher Fonagy.
Leila Arshid.
Layla.
That's what I meant to say.
Laura Dodge.
Laura Madge.
Laura Rosenbloom.
Lauren.
Lauren Luther.
Leslie Shoup.
Lex Conant.
Liesel.
Lily Avalar.
Lindsay Earls.
Linnea Thunsell.
Maggie Fleming.
Amanda Johnson.
Margaret Metcalf.
Marie Morgan.
Martin Hedegaard Peterson.
Maud Tremblay.
Kenzie Erickson.
Meg Eck.
Megan Frank.
Megan Murphy.
Magana Prasad.
Melinda Phelps.
Melissa Garcia.
Melissa March Quinn.
Michelle Kitz Miller.
Mike Kim and Leo.
Monica Bold.
Mariah C. Adamic.
Mr. Bundy.
Nicole Pandey.
Nancy Powell.
Nicholas Skidmore.
Nikki Bossert.
Nikki Maraca.
Narantha Bellagobel.
Patricia Faust-Rezig.
And Paul Sharp. Thank you all so much. Lex Conant, where the hell are you? What are you up to? Let us know.
Bye.
How's cash? All right. Bye.